thrills my
perfect, but I've made an occasional mistake in my life, and I'm so grateful that God loves me, and he loves you too. I know I'm talking too much, but I've been accused of being very shy and quiet. Oh, I get it. There's a little poking fun. But a lot of these songs, I hate to mention this because it'll make me hard to sing, but so many of these songs I remember my dad singing wherever we have ever been. And these songs have been thrilling through our family because my dad was a singing evangelist wherever he's been. And these are songs. Oh, I shouldn't have said anything. But these songs are just wonderful. I know Cheryl has had all these. I've not been painting with my dad all these years. But to have these songs are just a blessing. I like to sing one of my favorite songs, is Until Then. It's 632 somewhere. 780 in your celebration. But it's also up on the screen.
Until the day.
make you say amen, nothing will. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I mean, we really are. We have to not forget that our Christian heritage, not just Seventh-day Adventism, but our Christian heritage is that God is coming soon. I know it's been a long time, but patience will reward those that will wait. Day by day, you know, this is part of the problem. Sometimes our world is too fast-paced, too far along, and we don't wait for God. And if we don't wait for God, Satan goes, woohoo, gotcha. Because we really do have to wait for the Lord. Because the Lord, I don't know about you, but he's been very patient with me. And I'm so glad. Day by day, first and last verse. Never forget to walk with God every single moment of every single day.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowal.
To thank God for being with us every day. And as we move into the next portion of our service here, sing with me, "We Have Come Into His House." My father really likes this song, and it's one of my favorites. Please sing with me the two verses.
Would you please stand?
Please stand.
Yep.
We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship. Him, dwell on.
Let us bow our heads.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your great love. And now, Lord, as we celebrate all, even a small portion of thy great love, let thy Holy Spirit take it and put it in our hearts that we might always be a blessing. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Sing with us now the opening hymn, Lord, I Adore Thee. It's up on the screen.
Wow.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, we're so smart.
We're so smart. Well planned out, except for the children. Now, this is a Great is Thy Faithfulness is the song you normally used to, but this is the original translation from Swedish. I think you'll like this too.
Oh, how great thou art.
Oh, how great thou art.
Did I do the wrong one then? I'm sorry. That's how great thou art.
It's how great thou art.
My bad.
Oh, we were so close. We planned, we sweat.
You gonna share your verse?
It's a good thing the Lord doesn't keep track.
Yeah, I need another copy, but I don't.
Take two, how great thou art.
How great thou art, we can do this.
Yeah. That's too high.
It's too low.
Now I don't have a copy.
We took our only copy.
Yeah. Here we go.
When I, O Lord, behold thy vast creation,
the wondrous works which thy great hands have wrought, and when I view in awe and adoration,
Be seated, please. Thank God I'm not very proud of my children. You know, it's a blessing to be here. I think this is the first time we've been together since Sitka, Alaska, and singing together. And we put on a lot of programs doing that, but it's been a while. The program will be a little different than usual. Not because Jim's with me, but what we're going to do is that through some of this, one of my children will sing, and right before it, they're going to give a little testimony of what mission fields meant to them. Does that mean? And the beauty of that is the fact is that, you know, sometimes we forget all the miracles that God, and this whole thing is all about miracles today. Anybody got a miracle in their life? The fact you're here is a miracle, I'll tell you that. So it's time to take up our offering, and it's for the world budget. And I remember several times when we were in Sierra Leone, we lacked $2 of having electricity over there. How much? $2. And then we only had it for 2 hours. A buck an hour. Pretty cheap, wasn't it? But so when we think about the world budget and we think about the local church too, and you can separate the two. And remember, you know, that my grandmother, we had just a dollar once, and we put it in the church just before Christmas. And I said, "Graham, what are we going to eat?" She says, "Don't worry, God will bless." And Saturday night, they called me up, and I got $7 for setting pins that night. And 7 for 1 isn't bad. Back in those days, $7 was what? You had to buy a lot of meals, so. Shall the deacons please stand? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've done. And we're told no matter what we go through on this earth, when we get to heaven, it'll be cheap enough. May we always keep that in our back of our minds, for I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 1:8 says, if before the beginning of time, we were going to have that French horn played up here for us, before the beginning of time. And what was your last name?
Phillips.
Good. Well, we really appreciate it, and I can tell the grace of the Lord's with both of you. So isn't that neat? We're saved by that grace. Fantastic. It's an interesting thing that... We're going to start our program as such, and if I could have the programs, you've done real well then. One of the interesting things on this is that in your bulletin, I want you to notice something that's very important. When we went to West Africa, we were never allowed to talk about anything that happened there. And it was interesting, that's why my family and I had never ever shared very much about our mission experience. A lot of missionaries have come back, and Jeremy told me when I first went there, he said, "You're just gonna come back and try to write a lot of stories and make yourself famous and get a lot of speeches." We never done that. One of the reasons, because if you notice us here, there was in Nigeria at that time, the Federals and the Biafrans were warring. And it was genocide. There is a story told, the men came over there for our conference in 1968 and 69, and there was a busload of Biafrans that were trying to escape and get out of the, and the Federals were Mohammedans, the Biafrans were Protestants, and they caught the bus and they bashed every man's head in, except one who escaped in the bush. And that's why we were told never to talk about it. And I got permission from Jeremy when he's here 2 years ago. He came over to the States and he was my headmaster. Then I could talk about it now. How's that? And But it is interesting here. You'll find out that, and I'm not going to go all through it, but Pastor Joshua M. Bago and his 2 children reported killed at Kailua in his station, and Pastor Amos, Eddie, his wife, and 2 adopted children were also killed there. And most of our men were putting, of our church members were putting into camps. And guess what they did? They did evangelism. And after things settled down, but there was a lot of genocide. In fact, I had a hard time believing it, but because of what the Muslims were doing to the Christians, the Biafrans surrounded a small group of them, killed them, and ate them. Tribalism is far worse than anything we've ever experienced over here in racism. I'll tell you that. We've done a lot of wrong, but I'll tell you, you can't compare anything when it comes to tribalism. Because even when we were Ghana, the northern people were not allowed to associate with the Ashanti, and they had to live in separate villages. But when we got there, it was interesting because of this problems, and Nkrumah was there. He just got kicked out. He took Ghana into communism. There was the Red Guard. And so when we got off the boat, they thought we were black. They thought our name was Bell, not Ball. And here we get off... Here we get off the boat, and here's these little kids toddling in. And they put us up on a compound way up north, and there were 700 black students, and we were the only white. And we were all looking for shoe polish within a week. But the Lord performed a lot of miracles there, and that was the great thing that we found out and discovered over there. I remember that I was there about a week, and there was a riot. They didn't have enough rice because of what Nkrumah did. The students rioted, and I had one of these lamps that has a neon things in it, and I came out in the dark, and they'd never seen this, and a bunch of the kids came over to me, and they says, "Don't go out, Pastor Ball, they'll kill you." I says, "I didn't come here because the Bible told me, before I got there," and I shared this, that I got up one morning, and I told my wife, "God called me to the mission fields," and she says, "Let the brethren know," and I says, "No, that won't happen." I says, "They will call me," and they did. The doctor that took care of us, and Dr. Downey, I was tied in with the psychiatric ward, not mentally, but told us that every year we were over there would take 3 years off our kids' lives and mine. But God called me there. Believe it or not, just prior to that, I got a call to go to Walla Walla to be associate pastor in the big church there, and I turned it down. Well, if God calls you, which is the most important call? So lo and behold, when I got started out of that dark night and there was rioting all around, and I went over to the cafeteria where the students is, and I stood up and I said, "I don't understand something. You've got to explain it to me." And they began to quiet down. I says, "You're Ashanti. You're Fente. Why are you doing this? You are a proud people." It quieted down. About 3 weeks later, we worked very hard, and the Lord blessed us, and we made the Lebanese give us enough lumber, and it was... I can't believe it was redwood to build 700 pews. They gave it to us, and we built these pews. But if someone got up, the students didn't like it. Just before eating, they'd throw their forks down on the thing, make all kinds of racket. And so here I'm new at, and so one of their groups got up and sang, and they threw all their forks and spoons down on it. It was terrible. And I remember getting up, and I said, "Lord, you got to be with me, because those 700 students, you throw me down any day of the year." But it was cute. Because I got up and I says, "Listen, I can understand why you wouldn't want to listen to me. I'm not of your people." But I says, "I am in a way through Christ." And I says, "You don't pay respect to each other. Why don't you love one another?" And I talked to him. And I said, "We're going to sit here all night until you quiet down." Now, they could have walked out of there. They didn't know me. So I went and sat down, and I got quieter and quieter and quieter. Never had a problem after that. Who did that? Me? No. That's the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? But I'm saying it's fantastic when you begin to realize all that God has done. I have two texts. There are pictures up here that are interesting. And I want to share it to you. No one goes through more in the missionary. Not the pastor over there, but the missionary's wife, to me, is the golden rule over there. Really. But as I start this, this is Diana. You can see she looks like me again. Here's Jim. And we were building a church. The kids got involved. It was nice. And this is Becky, Diana, when she was little. And she had Raggedy Ann. And she, She also collected lizards and put them in her drawer, and they all died, and she wondered where they went. But, you know. But there are two texts that in the beginning. I'm going to read the first one, and I want you to repeat the second one. And it's Psalms 32:7, by the way. I copied it wrong. It's Psalms 32:7. And it's called, "You Are My Hiding Place. You will protect me from all trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." Now, I will sing, all of us, together. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Isn't that beautiful? Fantastic. I can't wait till I get to heaven and have one of those voices that can sing three or four parts at the same time. But I want to thank Wendell and Al. Thanks. I can't thank you enough. And we appreciate you. So I jotted this down. The one thing that Africa taught me, there is no such thing as a magical kingdom, but there is a miracle kingdom. I was brought up on grim fairy tales, and my folks didn't go to church, and I was always looking to be like Bambi, and you know. And so I lived by those. And it's always a happy ever after, right? But I got surprised that by the time I was 11, and life's not like that. But after I found Christianity, it is true, it's happy ever after. You follow me? It is happy ever after. And however, there is a once upon a time, and God saw that from that beginning. We sing many songs, His time, in His time, in His time. West Africa was a vital part of that time, and what it did for us, God saw fit that was part of our time. And in the center of time is the word I am. I am. I am. I'm part of that time. And this is the time I have, and I need to share that time with my love for God. So, here we go.
Some have asked me, how was it over there? When Jim had his dream about going to Africa, I thought, sure, what a kick. Yeah, we'll go. Cheryl was six. Jim was five. Becky was three. I mean, Diana was three. Too many kids. Diana was three. So we gathered all our stuff together, went down to New York City. They put us on this freighter. What a joy. I mean, with my personality, my good choleric personality, love and adventure, I thought, I never gave it a thought. Oh, yeah, we're going to West Africa. They said, that's a white man's graveyard. Malaria, they told us all the horrid things that you could get over there. And I, so? We're going to Africa. Oh, wow. And so the kids had fun on the boat, looking out over the porpoises and the flying fish. And they ran out of milk about the second or third day because they didn't expect little kids to be on the boat. Because the boat only carried just a few passengers. It was, what'd they carry? That was a freighter of some sort. In those days, they didn't send you off on a nice airplane. So anyway, when we got over there, and for somehow reason, I found myself expecting a child. And we didn't have any clothes or anything. I wasn't expecting that. I didn't bring anything. And so Jim went to Togo, and there was a miracle there, how the missionary family was going, was leaving, and he came home with a rocking cradle, all sorts of stuff. The Lord provided there. So I had that baby and went up this roads, which were like 1.5 lanes. Had a false labor, but we got up there, and Becky was born. And then we got back home, and Cheryl, come here. Anyway, it was about a week after the baby was born. I was at home. We won't go all the gory details. Cheryl is my nurse daughter, that takes care of me.
Aww.
She's tall. And Cheryl, tell them what happened.
Well, from a nursing perspective, she had a postpartum hemorrhage. Mm-hmm. And but I was only 7 at the time. So I looked underneath my mom's chair and I said, "Mom, are you supposed to be doing that?" She says, "Well, no, not really." And so anyway, but my dad was teaching one of the pastor's class of some sort. He was in charge of the church, his church board. Anyway, well, we only had electricity 2 hours in the evening. It was between 7 and 9. And then, so I had to walk in the dark. And there was no, for some reason, I don't think I had a flashlight. I don't know why I did not. Anyway, I was a very obedient child then, not so much now. But anyway, so here I was running in the dark, and they all talk about foxhole conversions. I was all over that. I said, "Dear God, if you get me out of this situation, if a snake doesn't get me, some beast doesn't get me, I will do anything you want. I will jump as high as you want, do anything, but please get me safe to my father." And you know what? God is so good. He took a little 7-year-old's fear and prayers, and I got there safe and sound to my father, and then we packed my mom up, and away we went to the hospital, and I was in charge of my youngest sister, which was pretty funny, because I thought it was pretty funny. I was in the back of a seat bouncing along, because the roads were very, very bumpy. But anyway.
Thank you, Cheryl. Anyway, we made all that, and Don's been showing some kind of scary pictures here. Jim will tell you about modern kitchen there, and there's some bloody pictures. That's the child that I just had, Becky, and she got on top of the table, and Jim can tell the rest of these stories, but there is a picture there of the family going home afterward. This is just before, the three of them. That's our dog digging for a yam. Here we go. We're leaving Ghana. Meet Becky, me, and Cheryl. And yeah, that was the three of them. Anyway, and our Becky looks sort of like Jim. I don't think you've ever seen Becky, but she sort of looks like Jim. But and I didn't get the picture here that she had a chimpanzee friend, called it Oo Oo. But anyway, I'm going to now play. And I'd like to tell you that I'm a great professional clarinetist, but, you know, sorry, Wendell. Wendell is a professional player. I played high school, and then I was really blessed that the orchestra would let me play clarinet in the orchestra. It was very hard to get from band to orchestra. Diana, I've been practicing this with Diana for 5 years. Yeah. You know, hopefully it'll go well. I told Don to play some pictures. No, not those, Don. Put the pretty pictures on. So you can look at the pretty pictures, and hopefully the Lord and the Holy Spirit will bring all that beautiful pictures to your mind. Okay? This is Mozart. I'd like to tell you that he was a great Christian. I don't know what his heart was.
How would you call it? It's not a rug, but I bought this over in Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone was a very deadly place. We almost buried Diana there with malaria. Jim almost drowned there. Shirley, when she got back, she still had malaria. It was the only place I went in the world that I didn't feel God called me, but the brethren knew I could build, so they sent me over there, and we built a... I could get that picture of that cafeteria up there sometime. I'd like to show it to him. But anyway, when you see that green mamba, I had a green mamba in the backyard. We had a cobra in the front yard. We had good boon vipers in the fields. Other than that, it was pleasant. We had night adders if you went out at night. And they sent our family over there, but the Lord blessed. He took care of us, and so we thank God for that. But the bland snake is the gray one. The green mamba's there. That was taken on this rug. My friend over there was a Australian, and he went out and captured these and put them on there. And the bland snake was hungry, and the I don't know if you know anything about green mambas, but they're very poisonous. And later on, he put a cobra in with the land snake, and the cobra killed the land snake. It was a happy place. But anyway, I just wanted to hit just slightly. I put the word "did" in there. What Christ did for us, He gave us dignity, He gave us our identity, and He gave us our destiny. And that's what He gave us in Africa. We got dignity because we're ambassadors, are we not? He gives us identity. We're made in the image of God, isn't that right? And then He gave us our identity, which I think is fantastic. He has a plan for us, and He ordained us for that purpose. So, see, I guess I'm, no, it's Diana, Pat, that's not. I tell people I don't forget, I just don't remember as well. This speaks to my life. I'm a miracle, Lord.
There are times when I wonder what you see in me. Lord, I know I'm not all that I could hope to be, but when you reach your hand out, Lord, to mend and heal, I was moved by the love that you must feel. I'm a miracle, Lord. I'm a miracle, Lord. I'm a miracle, Lord, because of you. For the rest of my days, I will give you the praise. I'm a miracle, Lord, because of you. I was lost to the skills of men and bound to die. And because of your plan for me, you heard my cry, and you came in response to prayer and eased the pain. So I won't live the rest of life in vain. I'm a miracle, Lord. I'm a miracle, Lord. I'm a miracle, Lord, because of you. For the rest of my days, I will give you the praise. I'm a miracle, Lord, because of you.
all these papers are just kind of scattering here. There we go. The song I'm going to sing is I Will Give You Rest. The one gift that from my parents when we were missionaries, when I was very, very young, is that, first of all, we had a gift of music, and I have so appreciated it through the years. The biggest gift that I received over there from a very young age is that I knew that Christ was always going to be the center of my life. And no matter what the bumps that hit along the route, I knew that he would always be there. Sometimes I didn't hear him like I should, but I always knew that my Lord and my Maker was going to be there. And so this song is I Will Give You Rest.
Lord has gave me the gift of song. I've sung with orchestras. I've sung Elijah with an orchestra. I've sung Creation with an orchestra by Haydn. But somehow, I don't know, I always go back to what touched me the most in my life. It's not that singing with the orchestras wasn't fun and a thrill, and I wanted to do it very much. But I remember the things that I remember about my growing up is singing the simple things. I couldn't make up my mind, and my sister almost whopped me inside the head. It says, no, I'll change what I want to sing today. I will sing I Come to the Garden Alone, because that was my first song I ever sang. But my mom says, no. And of course, we always listen to our moms. So we listened to a recording last night around Friday night, and we listened to my recording of my dad singing this song I want to sing. His Holy, Holy is what the angels sing. And my mom told me years ago, I shouldn't mention this because then I'll cry and snivel. You'll never be able to sing this song because this is your dad's song. Well, I'm almost 50, and so I'm going to give it a whirl here. And the last verse, I'm singing only two verses. The last verse, I would really like you to sing with me on the chorus, because I know what I sound like. And this is a chorus of us singing in heaven, the song that the angels can't sing. And I don't want to sing it all by myself, because we're all going to be there, right? Amen? No, come on. We're all going to be there, right? Amen, because that's why we're here. It's 425 in your brownish, taupe-ish colored hymnal. I don't know what that color is. Ooh, that's a terrible color. It's 425. Holy, holy is what the angels sing. And I'd like to have you sing I'm singing two verses. On the very last verse, on the chorus, I want you to sing to God what we're doing here and where we're going. And we're so glad to be home.
There is singing up in heaven, such as we have never known, where the angels sing the praises of the Lamb upon the throne. Their sweet harps are ever tuneful, and their voices always clear. Oh, that we might be more like them while we serve the Master here. Holy, holy is what the angels sing, and I expect to help and make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption's story, they will fold their wings, for angels never felt the joys that our salvation brings. So although I'm not an angel, yet I know that over there I will join a blessed chorus that the angels cannot share. That would be you. I will sing about my Savior, who upon dark Calvary freely pardoned fried transgressions, died to set a sinner free.
Everybody sing with me. Parts, everything. Holy,
holy is what the angels sing, and I expect to help and make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption's story, they will. For angels. That our salvation brings.
And the next one I sang was with you. And then the Hoys have had a lot of mercy on me. I sang trios with them. But if you take your bulletin just for a moment, and if you look under the picture, for a long time I couldn't figure out in my life why all the stuff that happened in my life. But the beauty of it is this text. It's found in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. And it tells us that every trial we go through, every thought we go through in suffering and stuff, helps us to learn how to comfort other people. You understand? Everything that's happened to us in our lives gives us the strength through Jesus Christ to help other people. And this one really helped me in my life to understand why we could have buried both our kids over there. Two of the doctors that sent us, got permission to give us the medicals before we left, both of them, one was in his 40s. He was, we'd call him a health nut in those days. He died. He gave us our examination. He told me not to go because you won't live over there very long. He died. The next doctor we came back told me, Jim, you guys should not go back because you're going to Sierra Leone. And he died before we got back. So we never went back and got checked again. We were losing too many doctors. But the beauty of it is, excuse me, the beauty of it is the fact is that if you've got Christ, no matter where you are, you're safe, isn't it right? The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time, he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in.
If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart he'll abide.
Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come.
Got to have our closing song. It's in his time. Would anybody believe that would close with me? In his time? God makes what?
All things
beautiful in his time. Let's stand.
In his time.
In his time.
So we're going to bow our heads right now and have prayer for the benediction. And again, thank you so much for the gift of letting us share with you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for the gift of each other. Thank you for the gift of each one of our brothers and sisters here in Christ. And Lord, we praise and lift up your name, and looking forward to the time we all can go back to heaven with you. And again, thank you so much for this day, and be with us all through the coming week. In thy name, amen.